In progress.
Okay, then. Now we're being recorded. Everybody be quiet. No. It's, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. This is 13:9, 1 Corinthians. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now abide the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The focus of God, the focus on what, see, this is 13:9 through 13 is just what I just read, 1 Corinthians. For though we see in a glass darkly, but face to face, but then face to face. Right now, all the things that we're seeing, and we've talked about this, especially about the kingdom coming and the millennial reign and all that, all these things that we see, all these prophecies that we see, we only see darkly. We don't see a good, clear focus on those things. So what is the next best thing? Focus on something that's closer. All right? If I'm going to make it my mind to get out and walk over to the furthest part of that horizon over there, before I get to there, I need to know that there's a big hill, there's a pond, there's a campground, there's a road, there's a creek, there's a that goes before I get there. And I need to prepare myself to go down this hill, across that pond, prepare a path, a clear path that I can arrive in the area that I want to arrive. So my focus not only needs to be far off of something that's coming, but for the right now, for the right here. What are we focused on? What consumes our life, our mind, our thoughts, even in this our day? I'll let it sit there all day if y'all don't want to talk about it.
As you're seeing that clear path, you still want to be mindful of the destination that you're looking
for. Amen. You're absolutely right. When you aim a anybody here ever aim a rifle or a pistol?
Yeah.
Right? How many points of vision do you have?
Three.
Amen. You got the sight that's closest to the V sight, then you got the sight, then you got your target. Mm-hmm. How many of those can you focus on at a time?
One.
Right? Go ahead.
You're saying Christ is key, right? If you focus on Christ, because ultimately, it looks like that's where the goal is going anyways. It's going to be one body, you know, with Christ. Because it says that we'll know him even as we know ourselves.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that I like how that's worded because it does seem like there's going to be a more intimate unification.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Gayla.
When Peter kept his eyes on Christ.
Come on, that's a great analogy.
He was walking on the water. As soon as he put his focus on the wind and the waves about him, he sunk.
He sunk. All right. We know that from Matthew 24, and we've gone over it with Tom a thousand times over the last 2 years, you know, guessing, that there are going to be certain things that come up, all right, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 14. And we know these. We've gone over them a lot. Amen. All right, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All right, that's where I really want to focus this whole study on today. See that you be not troubled. Because when we get troubled or caught up with our emotions and our mind and our sight of these wars and rumors of wars, these hard times, these pestilences that are coming on us, then we lose sight of the end goal. All we're doing at that point in time is you're looking at the very first part of aiming your rifle. You're only looking at the latitude sights of your rifle. So you have the V, and that keeps you from going to the right and the left. We're forgetting that the next goal is out there. So you line up these in with that, and then you focus on that and towards the furthest goal. So you're your main focus when you're shooting a rifle or a pistol is not the thing that's closest to you, but the next thing out there. and then point it in the direction of the target that you're going to hit. You understand that? Mm-hmm. In shooting or doing any, even in aiming a bow or anything else, if you were to aim a bow without sights, do you know how to do that? You have your point of reference, you know, where you go ahead. You got it? I saw you were doing the thing. I said, she's got it. And so when you pull, you draw your bow back, you have a resting place that you always come to on your cheek. Always. You're here, wherever your point is, right? And then you aim the end of your arrow towards the target that you're going to hit. So you're really focusing on the end of the arrow and the next thing out. Okay, your point of reference is always right here. For me, it's right here, right underneath my cheekbone, right? And so when I draw back, this is where I naturally go. It's just right there. And if my finger is not touching this point of my face, I know that no matter what I'm pointing at next, I'm going to miss the mark.
You also have to close one eye and keep your eyes single.
There you go. Keep your eyes single. Well, a lot of folks say close one eye. I like to leave both my eyes open. Okay, and the reason I like to leave both my eyes open when I'm because there's things going on in the peripheral, you know, that you might need to see. When you shoot your, when you let go of your arrow, if you only have one eye open, you're going to miss if it goes to the right or left. If you have both eyes open, you have the peripheral vision of it. Yep. And so, but the, keeping your eye single is very point. But keeping your eye single truly is focusing on the end of the arrow that you have or the end of your barrel of your gun, your furthest out mark that you have in your hand that you have control of. The thing that you're shooting to, your target, that is the goal that you're going for, but you need to have control of what you have control of. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Go ahead.
So it's not just persecution. It's kind of what we're under. I was just thinking about the fiery missiles. It's like it doesn't have to be direct persecution, but it, you know, if all those are shot at a target, you don't even know where you even hit. You don't even know where your target is. And so a lot of these distractions sometimes gets people, you know, quicker than, you know, just seeing, you know, persecution, because then they don't have a direction.
Well, if your
direction sometimes is more dangerous than straight up.
Do you understand we're in a war? And our enemy, right, is setting up booby traps for us all the time. What you're saying, being alert for where you're at. How do you, if you're not paying attention when you walk into a combat zone, there are trip wires. And if you trip one of those trip wires, you're going to ignite a bouncing Betty or something of that sort. And there are going to be people hurt all the way around you. So it's not even you getting hurt by not focusing on what you're doing. You're hurting the body of Christ. Because if you trip that trip wire, not only are you going to get blown up, but your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor's neighbor is going to get wounded also at the same time. We need to focus.
Abraham is that example.
Yeah, come on with that. That's a good example.
He didn't say that we're going to have kids by me. Take my handmaiden.
Yeah. Right, and look at what that ended up being. Yeah. Now, God allowed that, right? He allowed it. That was not his perfect will, but he did allow it. And Ishmael was born out of that, which brought 12 tribes into the world because God honored him in that, right? And those 12 tribes became the heads of the 12 Islamic nations that we know today. Interesting. You know, but not getting into all of the background of
but
that.
God still saves some people from there.
Amen.
Some people
right.
still come out of that. Not big numbers, but...
But some.
But some.
Well, even in the American church, only some are really saved. There's a lot of people that think they're saved, but they're so focused out here. They're only focused on the closest sight to them. They're only focused on their cheek. They can't see past their nose. So they can't even focus on the next target. And they can't even focus on the thing, the millennial reign, the actually getting into heaven with Christ forever and ever, because you're only focused on this part, the exterior part, not even the interior parts. See, our focus must be on Christ and Him alone.
They
right?
focus on the day they professed.
Thank you.
And you think that's, now I'm good.
Right. Only looking back to the cross and not looking forward to that Jesus is going to come and judge, right? He's going to judge every man by every word that was spoken out of his mouth. Every man by every word. What does that mean? Well, every man and every word. come on. I mean, this isn't real deep stuff, you know, but it is very important for the church to be focused on the right things. Because I get, and I've said it before, I think we all have that, I get caught up in the news cycle from time to time. But is the news cycle the really important stuff? Does it matter what Hunter Biden saw in his daddy's garage? What he smoked, what he did?
Well, or, you don't have to get caught up into it, but you still pay attention.
Thank you.
You see them.
Yes.
Right will be wrong, and wrong will
wrong
be right.
Wrong will be right, yeah.
Part of the watching thing.
Yeah, yes.
Not to be consumed.
Right?
Don't be consumed.
There's nothing wrong with seeing the things. There's nothing wrong with verbalizing that this is ungodly, like what we're sending the letter to the Avon Inn and to the other churches that are around. The thing that we're seeing is ungodly. And if you profess to be a God-fearing, a God-loving person, these are wars and rumors of wars. We need to put on the right fight. All right, so here we have what I see, right, my beginning part of my sight picture. Now I'm looking for the next thing that's out there. Right now, for this body, we're the thing that we're looking at, what we're pointing our weapon toward is the homosexual movement in a small town that's dear and near to us. All right, now the target that we're looking for is not the Avon Inn, but the demonic power that's on the horizon that's causing this. All right, so you see the focus, the aim thing? Go ahead.
So we don't look for this system's future because it's empty.
Yes.
Right? The world is empty. It's mm-hmm. just, there's no substance to it. People struggle and they die. It's kind of silly to, you know, fight for a future like that. You know, that's what it's saying, don't be anxious, because every day is sufficient for its own badness, right?
Right. So what are we supposed to focus on?
Christ.
Starts with Christ?
Ultimately, there's that unification with Christ. It's, mm-hmm. it's one body with that adoption.
One body, one spirit, one Lord.
But he says we have it now, right?
Yes, the kingdom.
But there's still an adoption, so there's still something more than what we have now.
Yes, there's a lot more than what we have. And our focus needs to be on the kingdom. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, go and preach, teach the kingdom. Teach people not about the Romans coming into Jerusalem. Don't worry about that. That's going to happen. Don't be consumed about that. Because after that, there's a kingdom that's coming. In fact, there are truly two kingdoms that are coming. There's the kingdom of this world, and then there's the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. So which are you focused on? Where are you putting all of your power, all of your strength, all of your time, all of your might? Are we putting our time in prayer, in studying God's word, and preparing to stand, amen, from Ephesians, right? Stand, doing all you can do, stand ye therefore. And I think he says stand three or four times there in that scripture in Ephesians. Stand, stand, stand. He doesn't say fight. Now, our fight, we are supposed to fight. When I say that, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. So I can't fight physically, all right, with a drag queen or a homosexual or a drug addict or a prostitute or the evil of the governments of this world. I can't fight them that way. There is a way that a Christian should fight, though, by prayer and supplication, being anxious for nothing. Go ahead.
Matthew 26:41.
Thank you.
This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he's talking to the three that fell asleep. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Amen. That was Matthew 26. All right. And so I'm talking this for Asha and Mark here because we got to make sure that they can hear, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God.
There you go.
Resist the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a resistance.
There is a resistance.
And he will flee from
you. Now, he will flee from you, but he's not going to flee from the objectivity of controlling this world system.
Absolutely.
All right? So me personally, I've got to do what? You said the first one.
Submit.
Submit.
That's where it starts.
I need to submit to God. And when I submit to God, he gives me the ability, the authority to resist the devil, that he won't have any power over me, That doesn't mean that he isn't going to have power in this world, but he will not influence me because of the righteousness that I'm submitting to, which is God, refocusing towards Christ. Go ahead. Nope. You look like you had some great stuff.
Yeah. It says in Scripture that Lord Jesus said Satan wants him, but there's
yes.
nothing in him.
Yeah.
There's nothing in him.
Yes.
In other words, Jesus Christ said nothing that Satan could latch onto.
Right. That he, mm-hmm. could he has no part of me.
Like
right.
he wanted to sift Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said he wants to sift you as wheat.
Right.
Couldn't sift Jesus.
Couldn't sift Jesus because there's nothing there.
On him. Yeah.
His focus, what was the will of Jesus when he came? He told us a couple, three, four times.
Destroy the works of the devil.
Destroy the works of the devil and do the will of my Father.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And Satan isn't a part of Christ's body.
Separate. No, he isn't.
So there is no future for him. Like so, his future, like his plan, is separate from Christ.
Right.
So it's like, and it's temporary.
No
the thing. It's the worst of the the two plans.
Right. And so what you just said, Lance, is really true, and we need to grab a hold of that a little bit. Satan is not part of Christ. Now, if you're focusing only on what the power of Lucifer is in this time, if we're focused on Davos, if we're focused on the wickedness rising in Atlanta, if we're focused only on those things, then we're going to miss the greater point. So we have the little V-sight at our eye, we have the end of our barrel, but we're pointing that barrel at the wrong direction. We're not pointing at the kingdom of God, we're pointing at the kingdom of the devil. We're pointing at the kingdom of wickedness. And if we spend all of our time only focusing on the wickedness, then we're missing the righteousness. And that is sin, right? Sin is an archery term, and it means coming short of the mark or not hitting the mark. What is our mark supposed to be? The kingdom, right? Our mark is supposed to be the kingdom. It's supposed to be focused our lives in such a way that we would be able to enter into the kingdom of God, not just in a millennial reign, but in an everlasting newness of life. Go ahead, Lance.
What is the kingdom? Is that Christ? Should the ultimate goal be Christ, not just a kingdom, but Christ?
Well, I'm not talking kingdom like a castle and knights and stuff like that.
Kingdom.
Right.
So if we're all going to be like one.
The kingdom of God, what is it to you? When we say we're looking for the kingdom, are you thinking like Mickey Mouse in a big castle? Or are you thinking about the coming of Jesus Christ?
I can't possibly imagine what the kingdom actually is, It's...
I look at it like life. It's life and death, so...
Come on. That's a good point.
Christ is the truth, the way, and the life.
Yeah.
So the kingdom is anything that points towards life and is eternal. Because the truth won't die.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is going to stand no matter how everything shakes out.
Yeah.
Life won't die. Even though it's going to look really bad for life, like we were talking about trees. The beginning, there was a tree of life.
Yeah.
And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. At the end, there's only going to be the one tree that stands. So anything that points to life, whether it be abortion or anything like that, is the kingdom.
And so, yeah.
Things that are good and holy, children that bear more life, that's the kingdom.
So we're not going to know evil. That's why
then,
the whole mind gets erase or certain parts we don't remember or something.
Well, actually, it says we won't remember none of those parts. But first, you got to make sure you're going to get there, Lance.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how it all ties in. It's okay, so there's going to be no more suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be no more evil. There's going to be no more mention of evil. Nobody's going to know what evil is. That's the only way it could actually work. If they have free will. Keep things going the right way.
I don't think we'll forget what Christ has done for us.
No.
I think that's part of the holy, holy, the exaltation.
Right.
We may forget the things of earth.
Yes.
Are strangely dim, as
the song
says.
Yeah.
I think that what we'll be so thankful for is how he rescued us.
Amen. And, what I think we're going to forget about? Sin.
death, destruction,
yeah.
evilness, the rottenness, the nature of mankind to walk
wipe
away
tears.
From God.
Huh? Wipe away those
He's going to wipe away those tears.
Yeah.
All of those regrets.
Yeah.
Is there a mention of just the opposite for those who are in hell? That they say, you know what? I had my chance that time. I should have taken it.
Yeah.
I had no chance that time. I should have. And eternity.
It says that eternal yeah. weeping and gnashing of teeth.
How we can beat
you know?
Ourselves up to ourselves.
Yeah.
Why did I do that? Why did I say that? All right.
And remember what Satan's biggest job is. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Make you feel guilty.
Make you feel guilty. You know, that's
even
what he does now.
Confessed and repented.
Right.
Make you feel guilty.
Yes. Make you feel guilty that you're not good enough. Again, we've passed the focus that's right here to the end of the barrel now. Now we're looking at that side. Right? And so when we look a little bit further, there's that song, Father Along. We'll know all about it. Father along, we'll understand why. So cheer up, my brother, and look to the sunshine. And we'll understand as time goes by or something like that. But by and by. Amen. So we will. We'll understand these things as we get closer to it, as the time passes. We'll understand more and more about it. As we walk towards the sunshine, as we focus on Christ and not being overly consumed, there's
what's
a
the name of that song?
Father along. Father like father?
No.
Along.
Farther.
Farther?
Farther.
Farther. Further.
F-A-R.
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 Far.
Maybe it's
further. F-U-R.
No,
farther. Further. It's past here. If you put in either one of those words, it'll come up, you know, on your Google search, you know. Yeah, my brother.
So this eternal suffering, like this gnashing of teeth, like if we're not going to know evil, like how are we going to be aware of that? We're going to be aware of the people that are even suffering.
Okay.
I think maybe during the millennium.
Yeah.
When they are under our feet.
Yes. We'll still see them. But they'll come after that time. It's that wiping away of all those things is... like Revelation 22,
won't be there
they won't
that's
be there.
When they get cast
yeah,
into the lake of fire.
That's after they get cast out.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yes,
you
please.
Were talking about kingdom.
Yes.
Kingdom, I think, is everything. So the kingdom of God is
everything.
Of God. When Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world,
mm-hmm.
he's in charge, so he could offer them, but he was offering him this world.
This world. Amen.
The whole thing.
Only the things that right now most of the church. Are consumed in the things of this world. And we're more focused on Satan's kingdom than God's kingdom. And I think that's where God's been moving me and my preaching and the way that I'm teaching and the way that the Lord laid on my heart this morning, in fact, how to refocus. I prayed all night last night about what am I going to teach. You know, Tom's not going to be here. You know, what am I going to say? And until I got in my prayer room this morning, Lord said it's time to refocus. And so I got thinking about focus, seeing through a glass darkly or dimly. But the further we get to it, the closer we get to that time, we're going to see things more clearly. So for right now, what I need to know is what the Word of God says about the times that we're living in. We know that there's wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, and things are going to wax worse and worse. And we could go through that in 2 Thessalonians 1 through 12, or 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, or 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 11, or 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 17, or 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. You look at those scriptures right there, and it will tell you the mess that things are getting into. But at the end of all of those scriptures right there, it refocuses not on the things of the evil, but the things of God. Not on the wickedness of the world, but the righteousness of God. Are these things going to happen? Amen. Absolutely are. And so if anyone wants to pick up 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 12, that'd be great. Then we'll go, we'll just work through those real quick.
Second
Thessalonians... chapter 1, verse 3.
We are bound to thank God always, brethren, as it's sent, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and your charity of every one of you all toward each other abundant.
Okay, well, you're in the wrong place, but that's okay, because that works. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. 2 Thessalonians.
That's 2 Thessalonians
2.
1, verse 3 is where he's reading.
We are about.
Yeah.
Thank God always.
Oh, I have the wrong address there. It's 2, 3, not 1, 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. You just wanted three?
Well, we can go 3 through 12, you know, if you want. Again, what he's telling us about the things that were laid, let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that what withholdeth he that might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even whose coming is after the working of Satan, which all power with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, in that, what are we supposed to be focusing on? Now, these things are going to happen, right? We know that there's, at the end time, that there's going to come up a person that is going to call himself God. He's going to sit in the temple of God, all those kind of things. But our focus isn't necessarily on that. He's going to be doing lies and wonders and all that kind of stuff. Our focus needs to be on Christ, on the truth. All right? Know these things are going to happen, but don't let them consume you. If we only worry about what the evil that is coming, we're going to miss the good that's with it.
That's why he's saying that there's going to be a false Christ, because the attention needs to be on Christ, and you have to know the difference between Christ and false Christ.
Right.
The Antichrist.
Well, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. All right? That whole mysterious evilness that is out there, and the things that we're seeing, people, do we really understand it?
No.
It is still a mystery to me. I see the wickedness, but I do not, I don't really get it. How can people be so easily deceived?
They're blind.
Amen. Why are they blind? It says so.
Because
they had no light. They didn't believe the truth.
Right.
God gave them over to the deceiving, to the deception, because they didn't want to focus on Christ. They wanted to focus on CNN. They wanted to focus on all these other things and not really enter into the fight. You know, you can watch a fight from the sideline and never be involved in it? And miss the whole battle, although you see the whole thing going on. So, if this spirit of wickedness, if this spirit of evil is here in this world, how are we supposed to act and react to that? Through prayer and supplication. Our battle is not against the evil that's in the world. And I'm afraid for the church, because many Christians are so focused on the evil and not focused on the promise of the goodness of God.
A lot of Christians, I don't know what they're focused on.
I'm with you, brother.
Honestly, I'm
with you.
A lot of them just pick an issue. Like, I'm only going to vote pro-life. I don't care about anything else. So you're all caught up in just that.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of evil in the world.
Amen.
And you should be standing against all of it. And not caught up in it.
Mm-hmm. Not caught. We're in the world, but not of this world, right? So I cannot stop the wickedness of this nation. I can't stop it. But you know what I can do? As for me and my house, I'm going to worship the Lord. As for this temple right here, I'm going to purify it as best I can and prepare it as best I can for that millennial reign, for the coming of Jesus Christ, not just for the cross. He did all the work there. After he did all the work, now I have a responsibility to maintain that work that was begun on the cross in my body in a real personal way. Lance.
Is there a spirit of the flesh?
Yeah.
Because there's the spirit and then there's the flesh, right? They're separate. Mm-hmm. But the spirit of the air, it's not just like the things that are going on in
the spirit
world.
Of the air is not the spirit of the flesh.
It speaks to that consciousness, that spirit,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is.
If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So is there two different spirits?
Well, it's not a spirit of the flesh. The
Thank
flesh
you.
Has no spirit.
Right. Good
the flesh
point.
Is dead.
It's still,
if you're saved, the spirit's alive, but the flesh is dead.
But that spirit of air speaks to that flesh, and that flesh is still like your consciousness, right? Like it's still...
It's following the desire, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. All right? That is the power of Satan for the humankind.
Does that corrupt the spirit?
Yes.
So the spirit of the air does speak to the spirit, right?
The spirit, Lucifer's authority over this world system infects the hearts and the minds of every human being through the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life.
Which can taint your spirit.
Which can taint your spirit. I don't know.
This is where I'm
only thinking. After you're born again can it taint your spirit.
Think,
it can't.
The parable of the soil.
Yes.
Because you can.
Come on.
You can hear the word, but you know it can be taken from you by the birds, or it gets taken by the worldly cares. Like we're responsible for what we do with it. We
Absolutely.
Can be influenced,
yes.
But,
well, we're going to talk about that today by the grace of God. That first, after the seed is sown on the wayside and the fowls come and consume it immediately, then later in Matthew, I think it's 13:8, he starts explaining it. And we'll get into that today. Yeah.
Right, so the fleshly body is going to be no more, even for the wicked, right?
Correct.
It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
But they have this eternal suffering, this eternal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems like it's their spirit. And what's confusing to me is God breathed life into this body, right? So, but maybe that can't actually be destroyed. So maybe that's why it makes sense that there's eternal suffering, because that spirit can't be destroyed.
Yes.
It has to suffer, basically.
Right. I think you get it.
I don't know. I'm kind of asking because it's confusing why God would have...
Well, it shouldn't be confusing because what you said is absolutely
suffering.
True.
Well, yeah, but
that's of the soul.
That's the only
because
thing?
That's the eternal part of you is the soul.
Yes.
Whether you're saved or lost.
That's the only thing that I can think that would make sense that there would be eternal suffering. Because if God is a God of love, then why is there eternal suffering? It seems like that spirit can't be destroyed, so there's no real...
Instead of focusing on the eternal suffering, how about the eternal glory? All right? Again, you're pointing your rifle in the wrong direction. All right? You're pointing at eternal suffering... When over here there's eternal glory.
But you have to understand that the eternal suffering wasn't made for man.
Thank you.
Man chose that. Because you chose not God.
Yeah.
All right. That eternal suffering was for Satan and his...
And his angels.
Angels or spirits, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those humans that are not going to have fleshly bodies anymore are going to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a spirit.
It was their choice.
Your home is where your heart is.
Yeah, amen. Your home is where your heart is.
If there's one spirit, then apparently that spirit can be tainted to everlasting destruction.
Yeah.
Well, the spirit is not alive unless you get saved.
Thank you.
The spirit's not alive unless you get saved. It's your soul that lives forever.
Body, soul, and spirit.
When you get saved, you are quickened, which is your spirit.
Is made alive. That's what quickens means.
So there's a difference between a soul and spirit.
Yes. You're a tripart individual. You got body, soul, and spirit, made after the image of God.
It's just interesting to me.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It is interesting, no doubt.
Doesn't it say in Genesis, when God breathed into man, he became a
living
soul?
Yeah, right.
So there's your...
had no life before.
He had no life, yeah.
So souls didn't exist until God breathed into him.
Right, but he did make life, because all the animals, all of the birds, all of flesh, all of the trees and grass, it all had life in it, and God said it was good. Yeah,
and that was created man.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say that spirit or that breath of life that
was put into anything else.
That existed before man.
Yeah.
And it says that his word can't be destroyed. That's why I'm thinking whatever he put in us, like, it can't be destroyed, but
correct,
it can be judged and dealt with.
There, well, go ahead.
Those that end up in hell, they reject God's love. So, I mean, if they totally reject God's love, then they don't want anything to do with them. So why should he bring them to heaven?
No, I'm not saying bring them to heaven. I'm just wondering what's going on with these groups. You know what I mean? Because I'm wondering, like, what is in us that he put in us that can't be destroyed? Because if there's everlasting destruction, then that's assuming that was never meant to be destroyed. And then his word is before the earth and the heavens were created. And that seems like that's a part of what he breathed into man.
Okay.
I'm just going to shoot off the hip here for a second. John 1,
mm-hmm.
In the beginning was the Word.
The Word was God.
Yeah. The Word was God. Maybe, and again, I'm going to use the word maybe that breath was the Word. Because every person, whether you had a Bible or seen a Bible, knows that there's something more than what we've just established.
And it can't be destroyed. That's why I'm thinking maybe this everlasting destruction makes sense that way. Doesn't seem to make sense any other way.
And so if you'll go to your Bible, to the very beginning of the Bible, it's called Genesis, the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God. All right? Settle your head there. Right? And in the end, God.
Yeah.
Settle your head there. All the other stuff in between there points to the battle between God and evil.
And God desires fellowship with somebody,
and he does.
Who wants to fellowship back.
Yeah.
You have a free will.
You have a free will.
And he does not want you if you don't want him.
Yeah. Go ahead, sis.
Galatians 5:16-17.
Read it out.
That's right.
Oh, you dropped it.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would.
Amen. So there's your battle right there, Lance, between the flesh and the spirit.
And your soul's right in the middle.
And your soul's right in the middle.
The flesh is done with, like, at the end of the judgment.
At the,
internal destruction, they don't have a fleshly body anymore.
Right. No flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. Right? No. So there's no flesh going to the kingdom of God. And the flesh, the skin, is not going to the lake of the lake of fire.
So that leaves some type of consciousness.
It leaves what God breathed into man, which was a living soul.
Yeah,
it's interesting what Peter says: "Where the worm dieth
not." Amen. Yeah,
that's why you're saying the soul is separate from, is different than the spirit, because
yes,
the souls
just like God, God the Father, God
the
Son, God the Holy Ghost. and they're in three parts but one.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you have a, if you're not saved, you have a dead spirit, but an everlasting soul, and a flesh that is condemned.
Right.
So the spirit of the air can affect the spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean like the physical things that we see, but it can directly affect that spirit.
Spirit of the air. Is there that?
Well,
I know there's the prince of the power.
Spirits.
Yes.
And I think Satan, I guess, would probably, if you're going to call somebody the spirit of the air, would probably be him, right?
Yeah, right.
You ever see the
spirit of this world?
Spirits.
Yeah.
You ever see somebody that looks like possessed? Like there's something else going on? Besides,
Lord, yeah.
Like,
yes.
Mental issues,
mm-hmm.
like people are just kind
it's not even mental issues. Before I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was a despicable, wicked human. I was possessed by a devil, by the lust of my own eyes, the pride of my own life.
So there could be something else going on there that's speaking to that spirit or whatever, that consciousness that we don't see.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Amen. Lance, I don't see your spirit, and I don't see your soul. All I'm looking at is a condemned flesh. Right?
If we could see it, we would lose our bowels.
Right, amen.
If we could see what was going on.
Yes, if we could see what's going on around
us.
And this is why we're focusing, or I'm trying to redirect our focus.
Principalities,
yes.
And the powers,
yeah.
Like that's what we're fighting, right? We're not fighting that physical.
Right. Yes, I'm not fighting against the homosexual right to be a homosexual. They want to do that, fine. But there is a demonic power that takes over that because God created man and woman, right? And that's
be a witness against it.
Amen.
But that's the best thing.
Yes.
To do is be a witness against it.
Be a witness against
it.
And
ask God to fight.
And the problem is the demonic power isn't satisfied with somebody just being a homosexual.
Right.
All right. Now they want the children, and they want you, and they want that one. And
sin has no depth. It just gets wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. It gets worse and worse and worse. That's why God called us to be a light, a city built on a hill. And we're supposed to show the light, the reflection of Jesus Christ, His love, His mercy, His grace, and confidence in that in a dark and dying world. Not to go along with it, but to stand against it, to make real spiritual war against the powers of darkness. Now, how do you do that? Well, first you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus, right? And as you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you need to pray scripture over things. You need to pray, because that is our battle. And in these other, Matthew 6:30, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Often, right now in our time, I think it's been in the times, all times, people look at their situation, they look at their surroundings, and they get consumed with the physical world and miss the spiritual world that's also around them. Again, they're aiming their weapon, right? But they're only aiming it at the end of the rifle, not the focus beyond, the eternal side. You're only seeing just what is right in front of your face. I don't know what's beyond that horizon over there, but I do know through the Word of God, beyond that horizon is a place that's prepared for me before the foundations of the world. All right? I don't know what it looks like. I do know how I get there through the payment of sin through Jesus Christ and my submitting to God and resisting the devil, like our brother said, you know, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say submit to God and pay a lot of attention to the devil and his wickedness. Right, you've got to resist him. You've got to walk away from those things. You must seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then God will take care of all these things. And what he talked about is food and clothing. We often add shelter in there, but it doesn't talk about shelter.
Talking about shelter.
Jesus is supposed to be our shelter.
The man of God had no place to lay his head.
Amen. Right. So shelter's not part of it. But what he does say is that I'll feed you, all right, and I will clothe you. We need to be fed with the manna, the very word of God, right? And we need to be clothed in his righteousness. Because all these fleshly things that we're concerned about don't really matter. They really don't matter. especially when we're looking beyond the horizon at the promise that's going to come that hasn't made it here yet. I see it darkly, right? I do not understand all this stuff that's on that board. I don't understand it, right? I don't. What I want to make sure is that when all this stuff happens, I'm on the right side of it. When the kingdom of God comes, right, and settles down, I want to make sure that I have lived a life that God would not be ashamed of, where he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joy. Right? That's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. I don't think God's going to care too much if you knew who Gog and Magog are. I don't. I don't think that God's going to stand up in his throne and say, well, you know, Kevin, you were wrong about Magog, so you're going to hell. Wait, no, I don't think that that's it's important because it's in the Word of God. But it's not important to the salvation of the soul. And if we're really looking for the kingdom of God, we need to be looking for the salvation that you make it. Right? Because I can't make you make it. I can point you to the one who can help you to make it and teach you how to walk in the Spirit of God and not the spirit of your flesh. That will ensure you through the promises of the Scripture that you will get to the right side, the right horizon. And so, in that, and I'm not talking bad against the teaching that we've had over the last 2 years. It's been good. Has been good. But it's time to start focusing not so much on the things we don't know about and start focusing on the things that we're really clear about. Are we a holy people before God? And if not, how can we improve our walk, our life, our heart, to be a holy people before God? Because you know that, where is it? I don't even have it up there. But in Revelation 21, verse 27, yeah. Revelation 21 and 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it. What is the it that he's talking about?
The kingdom.
The kingdom, amen. And enter into the kingdom, it, anything that defileth. What's not going to get into the kingdom? Anything that defileth. Anything that defileth. There will be no unrighteousness there. So if I hold iniquity, defilement in me, guess what I'm not going to be in? The kingdom of God. If I harbor hate, even for Pelosi, for Biden, if I harbor hate for the homosexual that's caught in the snares of Satan, I harbor hate for them, guess where I'm not going to be? I will be defiled.
Sin you need to confess.
Amen. That's a
sin.
Right.
You need to confess and repent of.
And it's all personal stuff, right? This can't be done as a group. It's a personal walk with God.
Our own personal issues. Like I said, the people that are focused only on pro-life, or the people
that
are anti-homosexual, or the people who are against the government and want the Constitution followed.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of issues.
Sure there are. Well, we can... do you know the German word for yourself? Ich. Issues. It's the issues. It's the me things. Right? Ich bin ein Berliner. All right? Kennedy said that. Right? If we're only focused on ich, if we're only focused on the issues, if we're only focused on the things that are right here, right now, we're going to miss the bigger picture. Kevin, I'm going to hate you because I don't like what you wear. Right? You know? And because I hate you, do you know that no hater will be in the kingdom of God? Yeah.
You were saying defileth. It seems like there won't be sin, or there won't be the intention to sin. Like these people won't have those malicious like desires to corrupt.
That get in there, but how about all the ones that don't? Lance, are you going to be on the one that doesn't make it, or are you going to be on the one that does make it?
I don't know. I don't know my own salvation. Do you know your own salvation?
Yes, I do. Through the Word of God, I absolutely know. How do I know? I'm remaining, abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. I'm learning, as she said, the works of the flesh. All right, and it goes through that. Romans chapter 1 goes through works of the flesh. And it says, not only those who do such things, but those who agree with those who do such things shall have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You ain't getting in, even if you agree with it.
Right, but you can't guarantee your own salvation.
But Hebrews 12 guarantees us that whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he will bring us back.
Amen. Right.
And
yes.
It's not us to keep our salvation.
Amen. I
go
can't.
Back to your heart. Do you want to be with God or do you not?
There you go.
If you want to be, you're going to want to do what God wants you to do, and you're going to realize you fall short.
Amen.
So that's why you got to confess.
That's why you confess it.
That's why you repent, and you move on.
Right.
And you'll be so sad that you have to do that as often as you do. Because I really get sick of it. So.
Amen, I do.
But
Thomas said it a thousand times.
God reminds me.
Right?
He said, this is what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be faithful and I'll be just to forgive you your sin.
And I will
take
go
my
ahead.
Word for it.
Go
That's
ahead, Nance.
And Lance, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life.
Yeah.
That ye may believe in the name of the Son of God.
Right. I know that I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Because I hold on to the name of the Son of God. I hold on to his precepts. I will never be, and I've said this a thousand times, and I will never be sinless, but every day I can sin a little less. Right? I can confess my sin before God. I don't have to go the way of my flesh. I don't have to go the way of the world. I don't have to be consumed by the worries and the focus and the things of this world that draw me away from the righteousness of God. You know, you can be so consumed in the whiz-bang that you miss the fireworks.
He says we just have to have faith. We don't have to understand everything.
Right.
Because we can't.
Yeah.
There's no way we can understand and put things in order the way things... We don't have that knowledge and we don't have that understanding.
But you can grow. And you study to see yourself approved. But like she said, you will never know everything.
Right.
And some things you get when God decides to tell you.
To tell you.
Because I've asked him some questions and I had to wait a while for an answer.
Well, he has to wait till you grow into
You're
it.
Ready to receive it. Yeah.
You know, my 10-year-old grandson, I would not let him drive the car. Wouldn't let him do it. Okay, now he's got his learner's permit, and I let him drive my truck. And he did a fine job. Why? But when he was 10 years old, I wouldn't let him do it because although he may have known all of the mechanics, he didn't have the brain capacity to do it.
Right. Right.
We might have all of the mechanics. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he gave to you everything that it takes. Everything that it takes. But we don't receive it all at one time because I can't take it all at one time. I have to grow. I have to learn how to resist the devil. I have to learn how to submit to God. I have to learn how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. I have to learn how to make this battle. See, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers in the heavenly realms. I've got to learn how to fight that fight. And how do I fight that fight? I get this vessel. Right? This vessel, Curtis Fitz, I got to get this vessel in a fighting condition. I need to pray. I need to read. I need to meditate. Oh, come on, guys. How many people meditate on the Word of God? You take a little bit of the sweetness, taste the sweetness of the Spirit of God, and you let it just dissolve in you. You let it just... the fullness, the riches, the power, the goodness of God will leach into your body as you meditate on what Jesus did. That's why he gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He would teach us how much truth? And he would remind us of all things that Jesus did, right? So in that walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, there's where the battle rings. If I want the kingdom of God to be alive and fervent inside of me, And you can say this too, if you really want it inside, I've got to strive to understand. I said I wouldn't get into the sermon. I've tried really, really hard not to do that. But this little bit here in Matthew, Matthew 13 and verse 19. Anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, all right, understandeth it. This is, they hear the word, but they don't comprehend, they don't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one that received the seed by the wayside. They hear the word, they don't understand it. How does somebody come to the understanding of anything? If I want to understand math, what do I need to do? Study math. If I want to understand the way nature works, how do you learn turkey tail mushrooms? You study them. You find out which is the real, which is the fake ones, and you learn what they do for your body. How do you learn how to grow or germinate seeds?
I'm still trying.
Amen. Still trying. Amen. Go ahead, Lance.
Is the fear of God through His Word, or is it through the Holy Spirit? Like, what gives us that fear of God?
I would say yes.
It's not just
right?
Words.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this isn't just words. Like, this is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit affects that. Right?
Okay. Go ahead, Lance. Gayla?
I think when you're trying to study or when you're trying to learn it in the world's way, it's intellectual.
Amen.
When we're trying to believe and we're trying to understand God's way, it's with the heart. And you can't mix the two.
Yeah.
They're not even apples and oranges. They're like fruits and vegetables.
There's a whole different geno, right?
And so your spirit is opened up. You can't even figure that out. You know,
yeah.
That happens when you say, I believe.
Right.
Like, I don't understand,
yeah,
but I believe.
I believe. Amen.
And it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that laid on my heart as you said it, the just shall live by faith. I think it came up from over here. The just shall live by faith. Not the just shall live by what he sees and understands. I'm going to live by faith. And what do I understand about God? I can't understand it all. So what I do is I take what I know and I cling to that. I know that there's a kingdom coming. I know that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. I know that just because I profess something and it doesn't change my heart, then it means absolutely nothing to God. Yeah.
So the heart is treacherous. So does the Holy Spirit, like,
actually, it's wicked.
Wicked. So does the, treacherous in the Bible, apparently, I was reading.
Yeah. Change your Bible.
Yeah. So, does the Holy Spirit cleanse
yes.
the heart? Because you're
yeah.
saying that it's possible to be holy, and I've never heard that before.
We are holy.
You know, here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit can cleanse these desires and make them actually holy in line with God.
If I choose to submit to God. See, I've got, before these things can, when God shows me the sin that I'm in, I must submit to God that is sin and it must die. I have to crucify my flesh.
So it's not just your fleshly heart. It's like a, what is it? Is it a consciousness? There's an evil consciousness and then there's a righteous.
Well, there's the flesh that you're born with. I think we've got the wrong idea for a lot of years here. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it, and that's what you did. Right. You weren't forced. There wasn't some, wicked thing coming from out of the east. You just submit.
Something
yeah.
he can speak to, though, that is not the physical body.
Yeah.
So
the battle is for the
will.
Soul.
Amen.
The battle is for the soul. He has no control over the spirit.
Yeah.
That's God, whether he saves you or not. And the flesh is already lost.
Right.
So the battle is over the soul.
Yes.
Right.
Where it goes.
It's just confusing when people are like, well, you know, if your heart condition's right, but if the heart is wicked, then it seems like the Holy Spirit is a part of like cleansing that or somehow putting it in line where your intentions are pure.
Is it Isaiah or Ezekiel that says, Lord, give me a heart of flesh and take this heart of stone?
Ezekiel.
And David says, create in me
a new heart. Amen.
And John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, okay, precious.
So this holiness is from God's view.
Yes.
Because he's seeing Jesus Christ on
you. There's the difference,
he's seeing
Doug.
Jesus Christ. He's not seeing you for who you are right now. He's seeing you for who you will be, provided you stay part of the body of Christ.
Right.
You know how Christ is the mediator between us and God?
Yeah.
Between us and the Father? Is the Holy Spirit like a mediator between like Christ and humans?
The Holy Spirit is
a personality, right?
He's more than a personality.
Well, they work together because if you look at Acts, when he ascends up into heaven, he says, you will be witnesses of me and the Holy Ghost. Not just Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost you're to be witnesses of.
And the Holy Ghost gives us direction. He leads us into truth.
So that's a part of us being holy. Is there
that is being led.
Has to be active.
Lance, you'll be led by one of two things. You'll be led by the Spirit of God or you'll be led by your flesh. If you're led by your flesh, you will die and go to hell. Because that's what you wanted. God didn't send you to hell. He didn't send those people. He gave them a chance not to go into condemnation. They chose to go into condemnation because they didn't want to walk in the fullness of God.
An illustration of that, excuse my voice.
That's all right.
But an illustration of that is at the end. Mm. When God is dealing with them, they curse him.
Yeah.
They won't repent.
Mm-hmm.
They just double down on their pride.
Right.
And I'm not going to get saved. I refuse. Yeah,
I refuse.
I'm against God.
So this the saved or the rebirth or
it's a rebirth. Jesus said you must be born again.
That's when that spirit becomes alive. Because you're saying
yes.
Be quickened at the Holy Spirit. Are you quickened at your spirit?
The spirit is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So
see, that's what died immediately the day that Adam sinned.
Yes.
Spirit. His flesh died within the 1,000-year day. Because he was, what, 930?
930, something like that.
Which is less than 1,000 years.
Yep.
So he still died on the day he sins, in the 1,000-year definition of a day. But his spirit died the actual literal day
that he took of the fruit.
That allows the Holy Spirit to work in you if that spirit isn't dead. Right?
It's the other way around.
It's the other way around, yes.
If the spirit is alive, then the Holy Spirit can work. Otherwise, what we just read was about your deceit. And that spirit of deceit has come upon you, like you don't get it.
So if the spirit is alive, but the Holy Spirit makes the spirit alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With your choice.
With your choice. John chapter 3, the full chapter, right? Not just 3:16, but the full chapter. You must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, right?
And he says what those two births are.
Born
of the water
and
born of
the
spirit.
Amen. So you're born of the flesh, the water, but then the spirit becomes alive in you when God moves over the individual and illuminates him to the desire of life.
So it's the heart isn't holy, the Holy Spirit is holy.
Yes.
And that's what works in you.
Right.
For you to actually be holy.
But your heart has the desires.
Yes.
Okay. When you become born again, your desires are changed. Just the picture that keeps going through my mind is when Christ died, the curtain was torn, okay? That curtain kept man from actually being with God. Now, Christ is the filter between, because God can't look on the sinful man. He can't look on sin. So Christ is the filter between God and man that God can look on you if you're born again.
All right. Christ is God, though, so it's kind of, you know.
But there's also a scripture, and I was trying to find it. I thought it was in Philippians, but that God gives us, he puts within us both the will to do and the, will and the ability to accomplish it. It's not that we get
more holy, you know, we do these things, but we want, it's a desire, and God, and also the Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart when they're lined up with God, and he gives us those desires.
Yeah.
And like Romans 10, believe in thine heart.
Yes.
It's the heart of the soul, not the physical heart. Although there's a picture, because your physical heart has 10,000 brain cells, because your heart and your brain communicate back and forth constantly. So God gives you pictures in Scripture of what is going on in real life with the spiritual.
Amen.
You know, Scripture mentions as a man thinketh in his heart,
so he is. Yeah.
There is a particular cell that's in your brain that they were astounded, not scientists, astounded in the heart also.
Yeah.
So as your brain thinks, your heart also.
They are connected.
They're communicating
physically
with each other.
And spiritually.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The center.
Isn't that cool? Everything is so interrelated and so exemplified everywhere.
So your heart communicates with your brain.
And going so, where your heart is where your home is. That's how you're conformed either into the image of God because of your love for the truth and your love for love and all things that lead to life and truth. It becomes the way. Or your heart is set on the things of the flesh, the knowledge of good and evil, the things that will conform you to this world. And on the day of judgment, but as you walk, as you go along the way, and you conform more to the image of Jesus Christ, that's you looking to the kingdom, and it becomes the desire, and you become more holy, because as you're looking at that, you see the certain things in your life don't conform to that, and you get rid of that, and the Spirit leads you into that. So you're being conformed that way, or you're conformed another way through your heart.
So in Colossians, what goes along with what Kevin was saying, Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 and following, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, all right? Catch that first. If you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as through living, though the living in the world, you be subject to the ordinances, touch not, taste not, and handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments of and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to satisfy of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, incontinent affection, evil consciences, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. All right?
So this is why these people that are going to be eternally judged, they don't want a part of that anyways.
Right.
So that's why.
So
that's why it's there.
They're going to the God that they served. All right. If we then be risen with Christ, we need to put away. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. All right. How did Paul? I am dead, but Christ liveth within me.
Galatians 2:20.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right, and so he's saying that he's dead, but Christ. He's dead, but he's alive. He's talking, but it's not him that lives, but it's Christ that's living within him. He's dead to the rudiments of the world. So, how you're back to focusing, right? Aiming your rifle, aiming your bow from your first point of observation. to the exterior button on your rifle, to the horizon where you're aiming. If you are aiming toward the rudiments of this world, CNN, Fox News, all of those things, that's where you're going to wind up. You can say that you are dead in Christ, but if you're focusing on the rudiments of the world, you've missed the kingdom because you're pointing your affections in the wrong direction. You're pointing your focus in the wrong direction. That's why we got to refocus. We've got to be retooled. For all of my life, and I'm not as mature as some of you, all right? I would say old, but that's rude. And so, yeah, so I said it anyhow.
So, offended her.
Amen, I've offended her.
You're getting closer.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm getting closer to offending.
Old.
Oh, old, yeah. My wife says I'm getting closer to the aged. And I've already got the hoary head going on, you know. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All right, this is where our focus needs to be. Seeking the things which are above. Remember, no iniquity will be in the kingdom. So why put your focus on the iniquity of the present time and all of your energy on the wickedness of the present day when we're called to focus on the glorious kingdom which is only found through an obedience in Jesus Christ? Refocus. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to ask what?
Colossians chapter 3, or actually it started in chapter 2, verse 20. And it goes to 3, verse 4. Actually, 5, 6, 7, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which was renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian nor Scythian, that guy, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Our focus must be, go ahead.
But 3 and 4,
yeah.
You are dead and your life is hid with Christ.
Yes.
When Christ is our life, then so are we also.
Amen.
So we are.
And all of that comes back down to what are we focusing on? My focus must be seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus told us to preach the kingdom, teach the kingdom, right? And the holiness. And how do you get into that kingdom? Are you willing to pay the price to suffer for this little bit of time? Am I willing to kill the desires of Curtis Fetz that I might gain the kingdom of God? That's, and again, I put my name in there because I can't do it for Kevin or Alan or Justin or Kevin or Kevin, the two Ks. I can't do it for any of you. You've got to want it for yourself bad enough to die to yourself that you might inherit the kingdom that's to come. Because you will inherit one of two. You will inherit the kingdom of condemnation, or you will inherit the kingdom of God.
And realize, as you said earlier, you can fall away.
Yeah.
You can change your mind.
You can change your mind. We'll get into that with the seed in the soils, because there are some that they accepted it with joy. And then after the tribulations come, they fall away. Go ahead, brother.
Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing that he, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. He started the work. He will do it. All right, he will do it. See, I cannot do it in and of my own. I've got, remember, dead men don't fight back. Go ahead, Seth.
I don't know if we got to Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, crucified the flesh.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we have to crucify the flesh also.
Amen.
And live in the Spirit.
All right, Lance, this is it.
That Spirit is part of one body, though. That's why.
Yes. One Spirit, one body, one baptism.
Because yeah. It is just one body.
Yeah, it is.
That is the main goal.
Mm-hmm. The unity of Christ.
Amen.
And so, in that, let's start praying about refocusing, right? Is it evil in our day? Amen.
Yeah.
Can I change it? Nope. Can't change it. Dead fish, any dead fish can go downstream. Right? It takes a live one to fight against the current. The current of this world is for dead fish. And so, red fish, blue fish. Easy there, sister. And so, who wants to close in prayer? Got it, Kev?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had to prepare this Bible study. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would crucify ourselves unto you, Lord, and live a holy, separated life, Lord. And I pray that we'd be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live our lives, Lord, with that great goal, Father, that's awaiting us, Father, in this eternal glory. Help us, Lord, to live for eternity, Lord, and, Lord, be more suspect of the temporal, that things that are happening now, Lord. Help us to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live this life of holiness to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you work in each of our hearts, Lord, and all the sundry myriad of ways that we need to be dealt with, Lord. I pray that you would meet us where we are and in the points in our lives, Lord, that need to be things that need to be changed, the things that need to be made right with you, Lord. And Lord, may we be conformed to the image of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.